Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Voice of Indie podcast. This is show number 172, and I can't believe it's another Wednesday already. Where is the time going? I'm your host, Beam Weeks, and with me, as usual, is my co-host, Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
I'm doing great. Been a little bit chilly down here in Alabama, but I've been going to a lot of concerts. Got symphony tickets this Friday, Brit Floyd tickets next week, so it gets hot when it needs to. How about you?
Well, what do you consider chilly down there? We had, I think, 64 degrees out up here, which is nice for November. It's one of those late Indian summers, as we call it up here. But
we got down to about like 64, I think. Froze our butts off.
Yeah, that's chilly for you. All right. Yeah. All right. So where's the time going? It's like another Wednesday, but we're going to have a good time tonight, everybody. So get your fingers ready for the phone calls, because we've got Dana Wayne in here with us tonight from Texas.
Thank you guys for having me. I am delighted to be here.
You're welcome, Dana. We'll bring you back in here in a little bit, but we're looking forward to this.
Thank you.
So you got some changes coming there, Beam?
We've got some changes. I see you got something here about 40% letters. Did you want to hit that first, or do you want me to do the changes?
No, we're going to hold off on that because we couldn't get the list. We couldn't get them out today.
Okay, so Story Empire, there's some changes coming at Story Empire. We are saying, you know, goodbye to a few of the longtime members. They're still friends and still part of the family. They're just moving on to do some other stuff, free up some of their time and whatnot. So there's been some turnover, and we are going to be welcoming during the new year some new members. And so if you want to find out who those new members are, get over to storyempire.com and subscribe to the website, and you can get all kinds of really cool stuff. If you're a writer, an aspiring writer, there's all kinds of cool tools over there that are going to help you become a better writer, a better author, and publishing and marketing and all this stuff. It runs the gamut. So get over there to storyempire.com and subscribe to the site and find out who the new members are going to be come new year.
All right. Now, all of you authors who publish with Fresh Ink Group need to be aware that printing is slowing down now. It has actually started slowing down in the last week or two. It does this every November because so many retailers are ordering so many books for the Christmas season that they start running those 500 feet a minute Hewlett Packard massive sized presses 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to keep up with the demand. So we're already noticing books that take us 5 to 10 days to print are running about 10 to 15 right now. So if you need to order books and have them for an event or for whatever reason, just to give away as holiday presents, get your orders in now because it's taking longer to get books than it does for the rest of the year. And that's true for all of you indie authors, self-publishers. If you use like Ingram Spark, for example, Ingram Spark's using those same presses. So everything's slowing down right now. I want to caution you, don't be surprised when your book orders take a little bit longer. Get your orders in and get them in now.
Yeah. So speaking of books and Christmas time, books make great Christmas gifts, and we've got a whole stable full of amazing writers with just brilliant stories, so keep those in mind. We've also got friends that are musicians, like the band Wide Track. They've got new music out right now, and they're working on some more new music, but they've got a whole back catalog of, I think, 5 albums now. And Zeta Alfaro, she was on the show here a few weeks back. She's got music out, she's got books out, so get over to Amazon or wherever it is you buy your books and grab some of those, because, you know, readers love books. So what better Christmas gift to give them than books or music? So, and if you want to be part of tonight's show, if your fingers are going to work on the telephone and you've got a question in the comment, you want to type something out on X, well, here's how you can do all that good stuff.
Call 516-453-9902 right now with your questions or comments for tonight's guest. Or post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group in the body of the tweet and we'll read it on air. That's 516-453-9902 or hashtag Fresh Ink Group on Twitter.
Be there.
Hey, we've got another new book that's out this week in pre-sale. It will be released soon, but it's in pre-sale right now. And this is from a Texas author. Now, before the show, we were talking about why we're getting so many authors out of Texas. In this case, Texas author, best-selling author Jan Sykes referred her to us. The author is Judy White Arts, but I'm convinced there's something in the water down there in Texas because those people take a drink and then sit down and write. And
yeah.
And we get to publish a lot of it, which is real cool too. But Judy White Arts has a new book. It's her first book. It's The Essence of Spiritual Awakening, Enlightenment, Inspiration, and Insight that Illuminates the Path to Divinely Guided Wisdom. This is a cool book, beautifully illustrated. It's printed in full color with just, you know, beautiful pictures, stuff. It's inspirational. It's got poetry and quotes and just it takes you on a journey toward self-discovery and self-enlightenment and becoming a better person. So we call it Prescriptive Self-Help. That's The Essence of Spiritual Awakening by Judy White Arts, A-R-T-Z.
All right. And now Ronan Duvall, he's not a Texas author, he's a Michigan guy, but his debut novel, Village Boss, is out now. And Village Boss is a military psyops, CIA psychological thriller, and it is worth your read if you are into the psychological thrillers type of stuff. This guy, he's answering to a different name, but he has these memories of being somebody else, and he's now trying to figure out, as this some kind of a brain tumor, or maybe he's got CIA running a program on him. Either way, there's an interesting journey that this guy goes through, and Village Boss, Ronan Duvall, is out now. And if you want to know more about these books that we're releasing, because we're releasing a lot of them all the time, or you want to know who's going to be the guest on this program, you want to know all things indie publishing through Fresh Ink Group, we've got a newsletter, and here's how you can subscribe to it.
Stay on top of these podcasts and all things Fresh Ink Group with our weekly digital newsletter. New releases, videos, stories, excerpts, interviews, and more. Sign up now on the homepage of freshinkgroup.com and be the one who knows what's what.
What? All right.
Let's take a quick look at the top 25 print bestsellers from Fresh Ink Group this week. This is print only. I'm not trying to aggregate all the digital numbers in here, but that's just way too much for me to just log in and look. But for the print sales, which is quite a barometer for how everything is selling out there, starting at number 25, NBC newscaster David Carroll's Volunteer Bama Dog. That's a fun look at the people who live in the South. Volunteer is Tennessee, Bama is Alabama, Dog is Georgia, because of the Georgia Bulldogs. So he's talking about this area down here where I am in Alabama, in the South here, making a lot of wry observations and having some fun with Southernisms, the way people talk, and just having a good time. He's a man of the South. He's a Chattanooga native, and he knows the rhythms of the people in the area, and he has a lot of fun with it. That's Volunteer Bama Dog by David Carroll. Above that, we've got a couple of Larry Landgraf books. We've got Into Autumn, A Story of Survival, the first of four dystopian future novels. Government breaks down. People have to fend for themselves. This one's called Into Autumn. The other three are Into Spring, Into Winter, and Into, Summer. There is a pattern there. And also by Larry, above that, Tales from the Riverside. This is his memoir, and it's very cool. It's full of all kinds of fun stories about living down there on a Gulf of Mexico. He's one of those Texas writers. I keep hearing there's a bunch of them down there. But Larry's got all kinds of fun stories in it. My favorite is the mallard duck that would knock on his door every day for treats. Okay, above that, NBC newscaster David Carroll again. I Won't Be Your Scapegoat, David Carroll's Homemade Social Media Blunders. You don't like this one, do you, Bean?
Oh, it's a hilarious book. And if you like to laugh, get this book. You'll laugh. We laughed just going through the manuscript on it. Just laugh, laugh, laugh. So if you like to laugh, this is your book.
Yeah, now about that, we've got Robert McKenzie. Robert McKenzie's got a series out called The Chair. The first three books are out now. Book four will be out sometime in the next 2 weeks or so. But right now, book three is one of our best-selling print books, and it's the hardcover edition. By the way, the one before it, I Won't Be Your Scapegoat by David Carroll, also hardcover edition. People say the hardcovers aren't selling. I'm sitting here looking at as many hardcovers on this list as I am softcovers. Next on the list, Stephen Hargis. He's a sports writer for the Chattanooga Times, and he covers college football, high school football, and just basically all the sports in the area. He wrote a book called Eight Hateful Miles, A Sideline Pass to Tennessee's Fiercest Rivalry. This is a book about the rivalry between two high schools, and they're high schools that basically take turns winning state championships and producing some of the best people in the state of Tennessee. And he put this thing out, what, 5 years ago, something like that, and it's still a perennial bestseller every fall during football season. And it sells all over the country and sometimes around the world. So a little local regional book about local high schools turned out to have a lot of interest for people. So that's Eight Hateful Miles by Stephen Hargis. Above that, another local book from Tennessee, Dick Farrer Jr.'s The Rise and Fall of a Construction Giant, The History, People, and Stories of CFW Construction. What's that about, Bean?
That is about a construction company that started off small and became one of the biggest in the world. And then they got caught up in a bid rigging scheme, and then a bunch of executives went down in a plane crash, and it all came crashing down. And this is the son of one of the founders of the company who put together this book. So you're getting the behind-the-scenes look of what was going on. And it's a really – you think, well, it's a construction company. It's a compelling read. So check it out.
It really is, yeah. And it's I thought it would be of mainly of interest in the Tennessee area, but – it's selling all around the world, and we published this one in 2016. That's 7 years ago. And look at this. It's halfway down our top 25 print list right now. So Congratulations. That's pretty cool, Dick Farrer Jr. Next up, S. Jackson's When Angels Fly. This is the story of losing her five-year-old son to pediatric brain cancer and everything they went through throughout that ordeal. Kind of a heartbreaking book, but very poignant and meaningful and it's something that's it's not for everybody, but if you're interested in that, this is a very heartfelt story. Above that, Robert G. Willis Croft, Operation Ivy Bells, A Mac McDowell Mission. That's the first of four Mac McDowell missions that we have published. He's writing number five right now. These are Cold War submarine thrillers, U.S. versus Russia. Mac McDowell is kind of a daring do commander, and he's a pretty cool guy, too. So that's the Mac McDowell Mission Series. First one, Operation Ivy Bells, is on our list. Next up, we've got one by a guy who's a drummer. Can you think of who that might be, Beam?
John Bonham?
No,
would be Mark Herndon?
Mark Herndon, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. Mark played drums with the supergroup Alabama for almost three decades till they did their farewell tour. Everybody sued each other, and things got real ugly, and then they moved on. Alabama wound up kind of reuniting, and they're still touring to this day. Apparently, they've been farewelling for about 10 years now. But in the meantime, Mark Herndon's playing with his wife, country singer Leah Seawright. And he tells the story about being with Alabama all those years, his own childhood, growing up. And you get to kind of ride along with him while he's living the dream, playing the sold-out arenas around the world, and, you know, the adulation and the fame and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he had a great time with it. He also developed some personal problems, and he takes responsibility for those, talks about them in the book. He does not trash people. This is not a dirty, dish-the-dirt book. It's called The High Road for a reason, because he takes the high road. It's a cool book, one of our bestsellers. Now, I mentioned Robert McKenzie's The Chair. Volume 2 is next up on the list. Isn't that interesting, Robert? Your second book is outselling your third book this week. So I think what it is, a lot of people are getting that third book and saying, well, I'm going to have to work my way back. You're getting that 2 and then that number 1. Kenneth Lindquist, How to Teach Driving, Behind the Wheel, Lesson by Lesson. This is the Instructor's Edition. By the way, the last five books I've named, it's the hardcover editions that I'm looking at here, including The Chair, Volume 2, including Mark Herndon's book. Kenneth Lindquist's Instructor's Edition for Driver's Ed is for people who want to become certified in their various states, regions, or municipalities in order to teach driver's ed. There is also a Parent's Edition of this book for families who have young teenagers, young adults, and they want to help them be better, safer drivers. Cool books. Now, above that, we're back to Eight Hateful Miles, that high school rivalry again, paperback edition. I think, Beam, we might be in football season. You think there's a chance?
I think so. That's that seems to be the temperature out.
Yeah. And now above that one, Mark Herndon again, The High Road, Memories from a Long Trip. This is the paperback edition. Now, if you like the paperback edition, you can go directly to markherndon.com. You can bypass Amazon and all these places. You go to markherndon.com, you can order the book directly from Mark and ask him to autograph it, even inscribe it for you. Like if you know an Alabama fan or a Mark Herndon fan, you want to get a birthday present, Mark will write in there, happy birthday, Wanda. You know, keep beating those drums, you know, or whatever it is that you like. Mark is very cool about that. He reaches out, and he's very personable with his fans. He learned a long time ago from Charlie Daniels, somebody that he admired, that you have to respect your fans, and he has made it a point to be that way his entire career. So go, Mark. Now, above that, we've got Larry Jorgensen, Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor. This is about several hundred 1920s Chryslers that never made it to Canada, and the story about trying to recover those cars, save the crew, and see if they could get those cars back to Detroit. This is by retired journalist and historian Larry Jorgensen, and we are only going to be publishing this book for about two more weeks, and then we are taking it out of print. So if you want your copy, now's the time. Now, speaking of high school football, the next two books are by Dave Hooker. It's Celebrate 98, The Untold Stories Behind the Tennessee Football Vols 1998 National Championship. This is a book for college football fans. The next two slots are that book, hardcover and paperback, back to back. So that one's, in fact, the numbers are identical. I'm looking at them now. They're identical. They're selling the exact same number of hardbacks as paperbacks. Now, Rona Duvall, Village Boss, the hardcover edition. Beam, look at that. Hardcover edition is here at number 7. And that's pretty cool. We just published that book about a week ago, a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
Above that, we've got Dr. Helen Burrell's American Agony, The Opioid War Against Patients in Pain, paperback edition. That's looking at the politics behind opioid enforcement and what's going on these days. That's our number 5 book. Number 4, I Won't Be Your Escape Goat by David Carroll, paperback edition. Number 3, B.A. Johnson's Sassy Discovers the AME Church. That's an illustrated chapter book for children about their church, and it's the first of two. She's got a second one now, Sassy Uncovers Peter Allen's Secret. So the Sassy books, 1 and 2, right now 1 is number 3 on our list. Number 2, Shipwrecked and Rescued, The City of Bangor, paperback edition by Larry Jorgensen. And that brings us to number 1. Who's number 1, Beam? It's Jerry Pate, retired U.S. Navy Lieutenant Commander, with his book, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. This is 60 chapters of memoir where Jerry talks about his life above and below the water. And he's just got all kinds of cool, fun stories, got a couple of nail biters, got some funny stuff. It's just a great all-around book, and it is being received very well, especially in the military and naval communities. But everybody would enjoy this book, Submariner, 30 Years of Hijinks and Keeping the Fleet Afloat. Congratulations, everybody.
Yeah, there's some excellent stories in Jerry Pate's book. Yeah. Coming in January, Gwen M. Plano's The Soul Whisperer's Decision, that's going to arrive sometime in January, so keep get the newsletter. Find out exactly when this is coming, or keep tuning into this show and you'll find out. Also, the audiobook for Cheryl Carpinello's The Young Knights, that is getting closer and closer to being finished. So I've been working on that the last week or so, really doing a lot of extra stuff to it. And I'm nearing the end on my end of it, and hopefully we will have that out possibly, maybe before Christmas, fingers crossed. American Darkness, by Stephen Skibicki. This is a book of dark poetry and some pretty cool sci-fi horror type of short stories as well. And Stephen is an amazing poet. This guy's poetry, I was blown away with this. And I'm not a super big poetry kind of guy, but if it's good, it's good, and I enjoy it. So American Darkness by Stephen Skibicki will be arriving soon as well.
What do you think of his images in that book?
Oh, the images are cool because the images for each of these poems are AI images. So they're like uniquely one of a kind, and there's just, I mean, some mind-bending stuff in the words and the images. So if you're into really cool, dark kind of poetry and that's almost got that tinge of horror in it, this is in the short stories as well. This is right up your alley. So be sure to keep your ears and eyes open for that one. We'll hit the newsletter with that. Now, if you missed an episode of this show or you've got a favorite one that you just want to come back and listen to the guest again over and over again, we've got an archive, and here's how you can find our archive.
Find your favorite show in the Voice of Indy archive on YouTube at Fresh Ink Group, StephenGees.com, BeamWeeks.com, FreshInkGroup.com, and on Spotify. And now, you can listen on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and tune in. Just search The Voice of Indy, all one word.
Our mistakes do not define us. All of our experiences and challenges, especially the most painful, serve a greater purpose. A lifelong journey of profound experiences and personal sacrifices led Judy White Arts to discover her destiny and connect with her true, authentic self. Judy shares her story and divine pearls of wisdom in this memoir that is equal parts inspiration, insight, and self-help. The essence of spiritual awakening, enlightenment, inspiration, and insights that illuminate the path to divinely guided wisdom is beautifully illustrated with full-color photos and a journal in the back for recording your personal thoughts. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Judy's book is available in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats. Discover your true authentic self through the essence of spiritual awakening as you journey toward your path to self-enlightenment.
All right.
So let's meet this week's guest. This is romance author Dana Wayne. Dana fulfilled a lifelong dream to become a published author at the age of 66 with the release of her first book, Secrets of the Heart. Since then, she has self-published 6 highly regarded and award-winning novels and a cookbook. Boy, I don't have a cookbook. What about you, Beam?
I don't have a cookbook either.
No, man.
I need to work on that.
We're going to have to seek some advice here. Among her work's many awards is the prestigious International Best Indie Book Award for Contemporary Romance 2021, the 2022 Bronze Medal for Contemporary Romance from Reader's Favorite, and a 2022 quarter finalist in Book Life Prize Contest and 2 finalist awards in Page Turner Book Awards 2023. A strong advocate for new writers, she started a podcast in 2020 called A Writer's Life, where she shares her experiences and provides tips on writing, inspiration, and education. A 6th-generation Texan, she still resides in the Piney Woods. She is a sought-after speaker and a frequent guest on various writing blogs. A die-hard romantic, her heartwarming stories are filled with strong women, second chances, and happily ever after. When she isn't writing or spending time with family, she's an avid crafter, especially Christmas-related items, her favorite being tabletop Christmas trees, a craft she learned from her mother. I'm looking forward to hearing more about this. She is a lifelong member of the Writers League of Texas, East Texas Writers Association, Northeast Texas Writers Association, East Texas Writers Association, and Authors Marketing Guild, LLC. Welcome to the show, Dana Wayne.
Welcome, Dana.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. So as Stephen just introduced you from Texas, and you've lived there your whole life, what's it like where you're at in that corner of Texas? We've had so many Texas writers from all over the state. So where exactly, what part of Texas are you at?
I am in Northeast Texas. I'm roughly 80 miles or so from Shreveport, Louisiana. We have, it's called the Piney Woods for a reason. There's a gazillion pine trees and lakes and things around. It's just a beautiful part of the country. We don't have the hard weather that some of the other places have. Like today, I think it was 70-something degrees and a light breeze, and it was beautiful. Of course, we also had a foot of snow a few years back when Snowmageddon came through, but, you know, that wasn't the norm. But it's a beautiful part of East Texas, and if you love outdoor activities, it's the place to be.
Yeah, when we started Fresh Ink Group, our first person who was running things for us was Ann Stewart, a Texan from the Dallas area. And every spring, she and her husband took their little trailer and headed toward East Texas and up into hill country and all that, because they tried to time their trip every year to catch fields of bluebonnets blooming. And every year she sent me pictures of them, and she was just in her glory when she could find the bluebonnets. Do you get to see bluebonnets from where you are?
Yes, we do. In fact, a neighbor about three blocks from here has a whole corner of her lot that started as just a little patch, and now it covers half her front yard, and she refuses to let her husband mow them down until they've all gone to seed, so they'll come back the next year.
They're
beautiful.
Gorgeous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of kid were you growing up in Texas, Dana? Were you into reading and writing from an early age, or were you more into the crafting early, or other interests?
I grew up in the country. I was the second of seven kids, so, you know, we had a lot of outdoor things that we were involved in, but I learned to love the written word before I could ever read. My dad had a stack of paperback Westerns that he kept by his chair, and he would read those. He could read, you know, two of those a night, and because I was a daddy's girl, if he was reading, then I had to see what he was doing, and so he would read to me. And it just amazed me that it was possible for somebody to paint a picture with words that was so vivid, I could see it in my mind. And that's when I decided that when I grow up, I want to paint pictures with words.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always been a dream of mine. And for a long time, you know, life has a way of, you know, changing your directions more than once. So as I grew up, I wrote, you know, some short stories. I did a lot of poetry. As I got older, I did some newspaper things and what have you, but it wasn't until I retired that I was actually able to start doing what I really wanted to do, which was write a book.
All right. Yeah, that's the wonderful thing about the child's imagination. Reading books, somebody reading to you before you can even read, you're building those scenes inside your head. But that even translates over to when you're outside playing. I remember the kids in my neighborhood, we used to play like Star Trek, the original Star Trek, and we'd be out in the backyards or walking through the streets with our phaser guns out, and to us it was real because you're a kid and that's your imagination. And you know,
there were these gullies my grandparents' house that had these big vines in them, and we would get out there and play like Tarzan, and we'd be swinging on those vines across the gully. And if my grandparents ever found that out, they'd probably had a cow. But I think the gullies were kind of deep, but, you know, when you're that age, you're bulletproof, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
We just had fun.
Then the sad thing is that when you grow up, you lose that imagination, and unfortunately there are people that stop reading because now they've moved on. Saw a discussion where people were talking about those people who used to read all the time and they quit reading. That's a sad thing.
It is. I was at an event not long ago, and some couple came by my stand, and I asked this one lady, I said, "Well, what do you like to read?" And she says, "Oh, I don't like to read." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, don't say that. You make my heart hurt when I hear that." I said, "You know, everybody needs to read." I said, "You need to read something. Keep your mind going." But the other lady with her was a voracious reader, but this lady was like, "Well, I don't like to read." I said, "That hurt my heart."
That's sad.
Mm-hmm. But I love the written word, and I love the challenge of creating something like a picture with words. And I think that's probably one of my best compliments that I ever got from a reader, was that she told me that she could sit there and just read that, and the whole thing, the whole scene played out in her mind just like a movie. And, you know, that's like the ultimate compliment for a writer.
Oh, definitely. So where did you go to school, Dana? You have college degrees?
I grew up here in East Texas. I graduated from high school, went to college for a little while, and then got married and, you know, did the whole wife, mother, you know, everything route for many years until, you know, like I said, I retired. But as I said, I'm a lifelong resident of Texas. I've never lived anywhere else. Used to travel for a living. I was a software trainer for a medical software before I retired, and traveled all around the country training that. And so, you know, that's another opportunity to, you know, I'm a people watcher, and airports are a great place to people watch. And so there was a lot of fodder for my writer brain and all of that.
Yeah, while you're watching people, you take any pictures?
No, you know, this was, I never really got into that. I'm more of a capture it with my mind type person. I can look at it and I can remember it, but, you know, I didn't want somebody to come over there and whop me over the head for taking a picture of them.
All right, we're talking to Dana Wayne, romance author, and she's got a cookbook too, which we're going to hear about here in a little bit. If you want to call in, we're taking calls at 516-453-9902, or go over there and post a note on Twitter with hashtag Fresh Ink Group, and we'll read it on the air. We're going to play a commercial now, and we'll be back with Dana Wayne.
Dexter Jones is a military veteran suffering from PTSD. He has flashbacks he can't quite explain. There are gaps in his memory. Is it the result of his head trauma, or is it the CIA running a program on him? Now a hired gun tasked to eliminate drug traffickers, Dex finds himself in Colombia wearing military fatigues and fully armed, but answering by name he's never heard. He sets off for an intercontinental mission to uncover the truth, even as assassinations and betrayal at the highest levels of government threaten to destabilize the world. Maybe it's not who Dex is so much as who he might still become. Now in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, Village Boss by Ronan Duvall is proudly published by Fresh Ink.
All right, so we are talking with Dana Wayne, Texas author. Dana, tell us a little bit about your family, husband, children, grandchildren. What are we looking at here?
I'm happily married to my own little Prince Charming for like 45 years. We have 3 kids, 4 grandkids, and I'm about to have 2 great-grandchildren the first of next year, and I'm just tickled to death about that. And they all live close by, so we're a pretty close family. We have, you know, our family gatherings every holiday and birthdays and find things to do that we can, you know, all enjoy together, and that's really important to us.
Are there any budding writers in your offspring?
No, but my daughters are real avid readers, and my grandson, my youngest grandson, he loves to read as well. And my son has picked it up, you know, in later years. Of course, he's, you know, retired some now, but he loves to read as well. So, you know, my husband's not a big reader, but he loves to hear me talk about what I'm writing. So that's, you know, that works too.
Cool.
All right. We do have a caller from Texas on hold here, so we're going to take that and go over here and find out who this is. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from, and what's your name?
I'm Patty Wiseman from Woodlawn.
Hi, Patty.
Hi, Patty. Patty's
Hi,
a Fresh Ink Group member.
Yes.
Pardon?
I said Patty is a Fresh Ink Group member. You can find her on our website, freshinkgroup.com.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. But let me tell you something. I love Dana Wayne, and I have read all of her books, and I want to ask her a question.
Okay.
I've read the detail, even though it's, you know, that was your last book, but what's coming out and what are you writing after that?
I do have a new release coming out. It's called Texas Winds. It is a contemporary romance, and I just found out today that the release date is December the 10th. But she said that that could change and it could move it up. But right now it's set for December the 10th. And it is a contemporary romance that is set, obviously, in Texas. And it's about a single dad and the woman that who makes him realize what's missing from his life, because it is a romance, and how she helps him and his daughter, you know, get back together again.
Well, I've read that book, you know. I've read it, even though it's not out.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I love it. I highly recommend it. It's a great book. But what's after that?
I have two things that I'm looking at right now. Like every writer, I have a whole folder full of things I'm going to write, and two of them are jumping around in my head. I have three, but, you know, you've got to really be feeling the vibe of the book before you can move forward with it. And so I'm not really feeling that one, but I have two more that are just jumping over here that they want their turn in the limelight. So I haven't decided which one I'm going to do yet, but they're both contemporary. They're both contemporary. And I've written contemporary Western historical and romantic suspense, and one of them is a Western, and that's the one that I'm just kind of not feeling right now. So it's probably going to be another contemporary.
Well, I love the detail. I love the detail, and I can't wait to get the book in my hand so I can read it again.
Good. Thank you.
All right. That's an endorsement.
Thanks for calling in, Patty.
Yeah,
you're
thank
welcome.
You, Patty. Always good to hear from you.
Another Texas writer.
Yep.
He's a great writer, too.
They grow like bluebonnets down there.
Thanks,
bye,
Patty.
Bye, Dana. Bye.
Bye, Patty.
Bye, Patty.
I see over here on Twitter we have another Texas author, Robert McKenzie. He says he's got a question. He says,
okay.
Dana, I bought your book this morning, seeing that you were going to be on the Voice of Indie podcast tonight. I'll be listening. I'm looking forward to Beulah being unveiled. I see you are from the Great American Arc. Well, whatever that is. Robert, you're throwing these stuff out that I'm not from that area, so I don't know. Arc, latex, whatever. Deep in the piney woods. So there you go. Another fellow Texas author, Robert McKenzie. We are going to take a commercial break here, but hey, if you want to be part of the show, you can do like Robert just did, or you can be like the caller was like. So pick up your phone, give us a call, 516-453-9902, or hashtag Fresh Ink Group in a tweet, and we will see it, and you can be part of this show. So we will be right back.
In an innocent 1958 American suburb, Shelley doesn't know the power of a kiss or how it will change her entire life. At 16 years old, she falls in love with a young man. One night, just one night, they go too far. Months later, pregnant and shamed, Shelley's parents banish her. Alone and heavily pregnant, circumstances force Shelley to cross the country in an old pickup. A mistaken turn leaves her lost in a forest amidst a severe snowstorm and in labor. In the dark of night, Shelley must get help for her newborn baby before they both perish. A light in the distance gives her the slimmest glimmer of hope. After Shelley wraps the infant in her father's old jacket, she trudges through the snow to a lighthouse keeper's cottage. Snow half buries the squat stone building. Will Shelley find shelter, or is it the beginning of the end? Read The Gift by Gwen M. Plano, published by Fresh Ink Group, exclusively on Amazon Kindle.
And that one is out now. Now, I'm going to bump back here to Robert McKenzie. The trick is don't read those letters as a word. It's Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma is what he was saying.
There you
so,
go.
And I'm trying to read it. As, yeah, I'm trying to read that. It's like, okay, I'm not familiar with that, so.
It's like volunteer Bama dog.
Volunteer Bama dog.
Yeah. All right, so we're talking to romance and cookbook writer Dana Wayne. Dana, you mentioned that before you retired, I believe it was in 2013 you retired, that you used to travel the country and deal with software. Tell us a little bit more about that. That sounds fun. Did your husband travel with you?
No, I traveled by myself, and I traveled, all across the country. I think there's only 8 states that I never visited, and I did that for about, 14 years, something like that. And basically I trained a medical software that was used in dialysis clinics. And then we had a separate software that we trained for physician offices. And so that was my job, was traveling around the country and training clinics on how to use this software. Met a lot of fantastic people and made some friends that I still keep to this day. And one of the things that I did while I was there was I collect recipes. You know, I collect different things, but I love recipes. And so I met with several different people along the way that, you know, people would have potluck lunches at the clinics one day, and there'd be this recipe, and I said, oh, this is really good. Oh, well, that's my grandmother's recipe, or that's my own recipe. So I started collecting those, and that was really kind of the impetus for the cookbook. Was I was talking with someone one day, and I said, well, you know, I've got Greg's recipe for that turtle cheesecake. I think that would be really good. And so that one thought led to another, and then I have a whole box of recipes that belong to my late mother-in-law. I had some that my mother had, and then just some of my own. So I just kind of sat down one day and started kind of putting them in an order and ended up with a cookbook. And some of the recipes that are in the cookbook, if they were attributed to a certain person or to a certain event or something like that, then it's in there with it. And but it was fun to write. And then, you know, I give all my family have copies of it. I said, did you put Mama Mickey's recipe for dressing in there? Oh, yes, it's in there. And what about GDR's recipe for eggnog? Yes, it's in there. So, it's a good cookbook, and it's only available on my website. It's not available on Amazon.
What's the name of it?
It's called Cooking with Family and Friends.
Oh, that's cool. And
what's
your website? How do people get there to find it?
It's danawayne.com, and there's a tab for all of my books, and you can find all of them there. Texas Winds should be up there probably sometime next week for pre-order. But all my books are available through there, obviously, and on Amazon and, you know, everywhere else, too.
Oh. Sounds like you're really into the cooking and the crafting. I mean, mm-hmm. Have you got any cooking stories, like where you wind up having to, you know, cook for a group or some crazy thing that happened that you look back on and think, well, it's a good thing I enjoy cooking?
Well, you know, my kids will tell you that, they don't want me to boil eggs in the house at all because I did it like twice. Put the eggs on to boil, and then you go do something, and then you go do something else, and then you go do something else, and the next thing you know, there's this horrible smell wafting through the house, and you walk into the kitchen just in time for one of those eggs to explode, and then you spend hours cleaning boiled egg out of the vent. So, Yeah. Yeah, so now then I discovered that you put them on the boil. As soon as it comes to a boil, you take them off and put a lid on them and let them sit, and they will cook. But, the first time I ever cooked something for my husband was he was a baseball coach, summer league baseball, and he was going to be late coming home. So I did this dish with pork chops and rice and mushroom soup on it, and he walks in about 9 o'clock, and I was going to serve him his meal, and he said, I don't eat mushrooms. Well, he didn't have to then, because he's, I'm not going to eat that. So I threw it out the back door.
Uh-huh.
Scrambled eggs. So I learned then not to cook mushrooms.
Now, Dana, as Stephen read your bio, he mentioned that you're an avid crafter, and your favorite being Christmas-related items. And since we're not too far off from Christmas, he mentioned tabletop Christmas trees. Tell us a little bit about this the whole crafting.
That is something that my mother did for years. It's a round, it looks like a Christmas tree. It has a rod up the center, and it has fishing wire that goes up and down and around it, and you put lights in it, and you do little scenes in the bottom. I do some with nativity scenes and then some with, like, village scenes around with people and, you know, Santa Claus and snow and this kind of thing, and then you plug them in, and it lights up, and it's really cool. And I helped Mama do those for years, and then when her health started failing, I made them for her. And then after she passed, I just kept making them. So I've probably been making them 25 years.
Do you sell them?
I do, but I take them just to local craft place things around here. It would be cost prohibitive to make and ship, but I do all kinds of craft fairs around this area, and I sell them all the time here. And then people that know that I make them will call me and say, can you make one, you know, for the like this for me? And I said, sure, I can do that. So, but I love doing that. And then I do wreaths and centerpieces and door hangings and all that kind of stuff. So I just love to do it. I tell people all the time, I write, I cook, and I make things.
All right. We are talking with Texas author Dana Wayne, and we will be right back.
More than 6,000 shipwrecks have been recorded on the Great Lakes, but only one offers a true life adventure, like the 1926 rescue of the city of Bangor off the Keweenaw Peninsula in Upper Michigan. A fierce November storm tossed the ship with a crew of 23 and 240 new Chrysler automobiles onto a Lake Superior reef. For the first time, Shipwrecked and Rescued, Cars and Crew tells the near-tragic story of the deep snow and near-zero temperatures. Journalist and historian Larry Jorgensen's detailed research and collection of historical photos chronicles what happened, introduces the key players, and finally reveals the fate of those collector's prizes in the century since. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, Shipwrecked and Rescued is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats.
A grand epic saga by Robert McKenzie. The Chair series spans centuries, touching the lives of 22 generations of related mothers and daughters, their stories witnessed by a simple pine chair. Resolute, strong, loving, and fiercely protective, these women must strive to pass their values to new generations in a world of racism and sexism, politics, scandal, fashion, even the rise and dominance of baseball. They live in privilege and poverty with faith and despair, relishing every moment of love, even as they suffer abiding grief. Volume 1, Lightning, Thunder, and Glory, spans the 1600s through World War I, while Volume 2, Faith, Hope, and Love, follows these women's descendants into modern times and beyond. In Volume 3, 7, 8, and 9, the chair flashes back to pre-Civil War America, featuring a woman from the Second Mayflower, her daughter, the black market Irish lace importer, and a Canadian World War I fighter pilot. A blend of history and philosophy told through satire and parody, the story of the chair could be found in some old trunk in any dusty old attic, but McKenzie breathes it alive with riveting tales that span the real and the imagined. Proudly published by Fresh Ink Group, the Chair series by Robert McKenzie is available worldwide in jacketed hardcover, softcover, and all ebook editions.
All right. Getting ready to release the fourth volume coming up soon. Keep your ears and eyes on the newsletter, people. All right. So we are talking with Texas author Dana Wayne, and we do have a couple of comments here on Twitter, so I'm going to go over here and read these real quick. Well, Patty Wiseman, who just called, again, thank you for the call, Patty. She said it's pronounced Arklet text. LOL. Love Dana Wayne. And Dr. Helen Burrell, she says, Dana, my congratulations for accomplishing so much after raising your wonderful family. It's amazing because most of the rest of us writers started at a very young age. You must be very gifted to have created such award winners after writing and publishing a much shorter time. So that's Dr. Helen Burrell. Thank you for chiming in, Dr. Helen.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks. All right. So, Dana, we're going to get into the writing life now. This is what a lot of our listeners are most interested in, and that's your process. How do you get your stuff organized and get things on paper and get yourself published and get all this done? Are you more of a pantser or an outliner? Do you have certain rituals? Do you set writing goals? Are you a NaNoWriMo type? Tell us about your process.
Well, I am a pantser all the way. I have tried plotting. I've tried outlining. And the minute I try to put something down on paper, it's like my brain says, I can't make heads or tails of that. But I can plot in my head all the way from here to Dallas and come back home and immediately start being able to pick up what I was writing. And but I've always been able to do that. I'm a pantser all the way. And I write every day. I usually, from about 10 in the morning till 2 or so in the afternoon. And are you still there? My phone just beeped.
Yeah, we're here.
We got you.
Okay. Okay. But I write every day. I don't write on the weekends. I usually reserve that for family time. But I'll come back here every day and write something. Even if I can't write on whatever my current work in progress is, I will go into my to-be-written file and pull something out and start reading and see if it sparks, you know, some words that I can put on paper. If I pick something up and nothing flows, then I'll put it back and get something else. The important thing for me and for the process is to be able to sit down and write every day to keep that creative piece going. And that's just kind of the way I do it. But I can't plot. I can't even do a simple outline. It just doesn't work for me. I just have to pants it the whole way.
Hmm.
And I write myself into a corner sometimes because I just start writing until the words quit. And then I go back and read it, and I went, well, you know, maybe that's not what I really need to do there. And I have to stop and think about it. But when that happens, I just back up and go back to where it made sense and pick up and move forward. But I never throw anything away. If it's on paper, I save it. I put it in my might use it later file. Those words are too hard to come by to just throw them away.
I love that concept, Dana. I go back to where it makes sense.
I learned that, Caleb.
From Caleb?
Because I was at a workshop one time and I was struggling with my first book. I got to a point and I just couldn't move forward. Everything just didn't work. And so I said something to him about it, and he said, well, you just need to get out of the way. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, you're trying to make the story go where you want it to go versus letting the story tell you where it wants to go. And I just kind of laughed, and I said, do what now? And he said, just think about it. He said, the story takes on a life of its own, and you'll realize that as you get to going. He said, go back to where the story made sense, and everything after that, put it in another file and go forward. And I'm like, okay, if Caleb says do it, that's what I'm going to do. And sure enough, I did that. It took almost 2.5 chapters out of that book, put them in another folder, and was able to go forward, and I finished the book in a month. So that was pretty cool. But sometimes you just have to get out of the way.
Yeah, we've asked that question 175 times now, Dana. We've got 175 excellent answers. And that was some good advice there, especially coming through you from Caleb, too. Go back to where it makes
Caleb
sense.
Caleb Pirtle. There you go.
Take on a life.
Caleb Pirtle is an awesome writer and such a supporter, and he was so instrumental in a lot of the things that I do now because I learned so much from him. He was an awesome man.
Yeah.
We do have a caller on the line, another Texan here, so we're going to take this call. This is coming from, I believe, the Houston, Texas area. This is Mr. Robert McKenzie. How are you doing tonight, Robert?
Hey, Beam. Hey, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Dana.
How are you this evening?
Good. I bought your book, and I didn't want to really look into what it was about on the Amazon site, thinking, well, I'll call in and get some insight.
Okay.
Unveiling Beulah, and first of all, that's a great title. I really don't know it. It's a nice picture of the woman on the cover. When I write, and I'm not a big-time writer, I wrote about a lot of women in the chair series. In fact, that's what it's about. But it's a pine chair, so you would understand the piney woods.
Mm-hmm.
What is the book about? Is this a character that you – what can you tell me about it without giving away the plot? And then I have another question for you.
And this one's called Unveiling Beulah.
Yes, yes.
Dana?
I think we just dropped her. Yeah, she – hopefully she calls back.
She had enough of me.
Why don't we hold Robert for a moment?
The effect I have on women, they hang
we
on.
Yeah,
ahead.
Robert.
We go ahead and roll a commercial and give Dana time to get back in.
All righty.
Okay.
So hold on, Robert. Stay on the line.
All right.
Every person has a private life and a secret self. This is true of those we know and people we only know because they are famous. Discover fascinating, intimate, clever, witty, poignant, insightful tales from a diverse roster of notable women who dare reveal both the unknown and the previously undisclosed. But these are not gossipy tales. No, they are personal, anecdotal, always meaningful stories for quiet reading, sharing aloud, even performing from the stage. Compiled by Detroit playwright Jay Ajluni, Whoopi Likes Her Bacon Crispy, 65 fascinating excerpts from the memoirs of famous and infamous women is illustrated with whimsical portraits that capture these remarkable celebrities at their best. Choose your own from laminate hardcover, softback, and digital editions, all proudly published by Fresh Ink Group. Come away with a richer appreciation of these talented women and smile for permitting them to entertain you in unexpected and delightful ways.
Right. So we have Dana Wayne back on the line. How you doing, Dana?
Yes,
where you
I am
hey,
so
Dana.
Sorry.
Man, we missed you.
I am so sorry. I was talking and then the phone just quit.
That happened.
Apologize.
So it wasn't something I said.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay,
Robert, you want to go ahead and re-ask your question again there?
Yeah.
I have two questions. We'll just put them together and then I'll hang up and listen. But Unveiling Beulah, first of all, first question is, how did you decide? I don't know anything about your other book, so I just thought this would be a good one to start with. How did you come up with the character and what without giving me the plot, obviously, what is it about? And then second of all the characters you've written about, do you find – to a certain extent I do, sometimes thinking, well, what would Beulah do? Or what would – I have a character called Lana, and I sometimes think, since I've been living with these characters for quite some time, you think, well, that character I created, they're real, and I'm thinking, well, I can ask them questions, and maybe they'll give me some insight as to whatever I'm all about. So if you could tell me about your book.
Okay. Unveiling Beulah actually came to me in a dream, of all things. I had watched a Western that night, and this woman was in my dream, and her name was Beulah. And she was standing on a train platform, and she had her back to me, and she turned around, and then that's when I woke up. And immediately my writer's brain kicks into gear and goes, who is this woman? Why is she here? What's her story? And so I normally when that happens, I have to get up and go write it down. I can't go back to sleep until I do something with that. So, and my computer in my office is never off. It's always on. So I went in, woke it up, and sat down and started writing about this woman on the train. And then I went back to bed. And the next day, I was still thinking about it constantly. What is she doing? Why is she there? Beulah Mae Lockhart is a 30-year-old daughter of an affluent New York family. She is has a scar on her face from a childhood accident. And her family insisted that she always wear this veil. So she spends her whole life from the time she's like 12 years old being made to feel less than worthy. Because this is in Texas. Well, it's in 1879. Her family is from New York. But in that whole affluent world, looks determine value. So Beulah spent her whole life being made to feel less than worthy. And she always had to wear that veil. So the first thing she does, she gets on this train. She has bought a general store in a small town in East Texas. And she gets on the train and she takes off that veil. And she's like, people can accept me as I am or they can leave me alone. And it's all about her reinventing herself and realizing that the only person who can determine your value is you. It was an excellent, I love Beulah Mae. I love her, the character. She's a very strong person. She's very smart. She's ahead of her time in terms of what she can do and what she does do. And I think you'll like her. I think you'll like her. And she was, that book was also a finalist in the Page Turner Awards this year for historical romance.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And, continued success. Sounds like you're
Thank
doing
you.
It the right way, and maybe I can obviously learn something from reading your books.
I hope so.
All right. Thanks
okay.
for calling,
Thanks
Robert.
Thanks for calling, Robert. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're talking to romance author Dana Wayne. Dana, we got a couple other books by you here. Let's run through these real quick. What's Whispers on the Wind about?
Whispers on the Wind is a romantic suspense. It has a ghost in it that talks to the sheriff and helps him solve a murder. And, of course, there's a romance in it. And it's the opposites attract, unwanted attraction trope in that one.
Oh. How
and
about
it won first place in the Texas romantic suspense in the Texas contest.
Oh, cool. Well, how about Secrets of the Heart?
Oh, Secrets of the Heart was my first book. And that book took me, well, I had bits and pieces of that book scattered all over boxes and stuff for probably 10 years before I ever got to write it. And it's the story of a hospice nurse who takes a job in out of state, and as soon as she gets there, discovers that she has to pretend to be the fiancé of the handsome ranch owner because that's what her patient thinks she is.
Okay, what about Mail Order Groom? That's an interesting title. It's usually Mail Order Bride.
Mail Order Groom, I actually credit Caleb Pirtle with coming up with that one, too. I was at a writer's meeting with Caleb, and there were several ladies in the group that wrote these Mail Order Bride genre westerns. And Caleb says, why is it always a Mail Order Bride? Why not a Mail Order Groom? And immediately... my writer's brain says, why not indeed? Mm. So by the time I got home from that meeting, I already had Emma's character sketched out in my head and her plot. And in Emma's case, Emma's a 26-year-old daughter of a Texas rancher, and this is set in 1878. He thinks he's dying and wants her to get married before he does, and she wants no part of any of the locals. So unbeknownst to her, he advertises for a groom. And so all these guys start showing up, and she's mortified and not happy about it. And so here's their foreman over here that says, Miss Emma, have I got a deal for you? And so a marriage of convenience is just the beginning of that story.
Oh, cool.
All right. So what's the detail about? The cover looks a little more modern than something set in 1800.
Yeah, it's a romantic suspense, and it's heavy on the suspense element. These two detectives are partners, and they're both secretly in love with each other, but neither knows how the other feels. So the Seth, the male character, has decided that they have to go to Denver to pick up a criminal and bring him back to Texas. And so he's decided that that 14-hour drive to Denver, he's going to use it to kind of see if he can figure out what Jess's feelings are for him and if there's any chance that they can get together. Well, when they pick the prisoner up and they're headed back to Texas, they have a terrible accident, and the guy escapes, and then he comes after her. And this is the story. That event brings them closer together, and they finally realize that they love each other.
Oh, cool. So there's a square cover here, which usually means audiobook, Chasing Hope. Is that an audiobook?
Yes, Chasing Hope is on audio, so is The Detail, and so is Unveiling Beulah. And Chasing Hope is probably one of my favorite books just because of the characters that are in it. It's a single mom, a wounded warrior, and a precocious 7-year-old matchmaker. It won the Best Indie Book Award, and it was also the bronze medal with Reader's Favorite. And had one reader tell me that it read like a Hallmark movie in a book. So if you like Hallmark movies, you'll love it.
I like Hallmark movies. That's a great compliment.
I do, too.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, so Dana, you want to give some shout-outs to people you work with, people who help you accomplish what you do, beta readers, editors, where you get your covers done, any of those people?
Mm-hmm. My cover designer is Joanna Walker with Just Right Creations out of Canada. She's designed all of my covers that I've used up to this point. And obviously, you know, writing while writing itself is a solitary endeavor. You couldn't do it without the support and encouragement of the people around you. So I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by other very gifted writers. Patty Wiseman is one. Mike Clifton is another. Mike Wigington is another. I have the beta readers, or, you know, Beth Hallett and Phyllis Steele. And there's just... there's so many. I'm afraid I'm going to miss somebody. We have my writers group meets. You know, we have 3 different groups in this area, and I'm able to participate in, you know, different things with them. The East Texas Writers Association, the Northeast Texas Writers Organization, the East Texas Writers Guild, all of those have some extremely gifted writers. And the great thing about writers talking to writers is they understand what you're going through. And when you hit that wall, or you need that little bit of encouragement, because it's easy to get discouraged when the words don't come, but you can talk to another writer. To Patty is one of my best friends, and she's my biggest. She helps me get back on track real easy, you know, because sometimes I just get off in the weeds and can't get back out. But I'm very fortunate, those people that are there to support me. And of course, my husband, he's my biggest supporter, even though he doesn't read. You know, he loves to hear me talk about my imaginary friends, as he calls them. And he'll say, you know, are your friends talking to you today or not? Or I'll go in the kitchen and slam something down on the counter. He'll go, okay, which imaginary friend is giving you problems today?
Yeah, writers are that group that you can be standing in the middle of a whole room full of writers, and you just suddenly burst into tears, fall to your knees, and say, my subplot's not working. And they all get it.
They all get it.
They
understand that. You know, and that's one of my biggest tips to other writers, is surround yourself by other writers, because they know what you're going through. You know, your friends and family, as much as they love you and as much as they want you to succeed, they don't really understand how not being able to get the words out, what that can do to you. But another writer will.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've got an upcoming event in Fort Worth. You want to share that?
I do. There's an event every year. Actually, there's 2 of them. They go twice a year. It's called Funky Finds. And it is a huge multi-item event. They have a lot of handcrafted items. It's all handcrafted things, and they do it in March, and then they do it again in November. And Patty and I both will be there this weekend. We'll be in booth G2. So if you're in the Fort Worth area, it's at the Will Rogers Coliseum in Fort Worth, and it's called the Will Rogers Memorial Center. And if they're in Fort Worth, and if you're in the area, I'm sure you know where that is. But it's Funky Finds. It's handmade and vintage crafts, over 200 vendors. and it's all Saturday from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 4.
Wow, that's great. So, Dana, do you have any advice for other authors out there, whether they be newbies or established?
You know, like I said, surround yourself with other authors. And when I meet somebody at an event that says, well, you know, I really kind of wanted to write a book, but, you know, I just don't know where to start. You start by going chapter one, or you start by going, it was a dark and stormy night, and you just keep writing. The important thing is that you do it, you know. Just sit down and just write till the words quit coming. If you're an outline person, if you're a plot person, then sit down and outline or plot what that story needs to be, and then just start writing. And when you get stuck, you find another writer and say, how do I get past here? Just do it. That's my biggest thing. If, you know, I didn't publish my first book till I was 66, and my seventh book is going to be out next month. So, you know, it's never too late to achieve your dream. You just have to do it.
Great advice.
All right. Now, how can listeners, fans, readers, how can they find you on social media? You have a blog, website, Facebook, Instagram?
I have a website, DanaWayne.com. I also have a YouTube channel, which is Dana Wayne Author, and I have all my videos there, book trailers you can find there. I'm on Facebook as author DanaWayne423. Instagram is author_Dana_Wayne, and on Twitter it's author Dana Wayne, and then of course my website too.
Oh, great.
Nice.
That's romance writer and cookbook writer Dana Wayne has been our guest tonight. We appreciate you being on the show, Dana.
Thank you so much. I really have enjoyed it, and I apologize for the drop in signal.
That happens from time to time.
That happens, yeah. And you listeners out there, help us spread the word about Dana and her books. And if you missed this show, we'll have it in the archives in the next day or two. Spread the word. Encourage people to listen in to learn more about Dana Wayne and her books. And then next week, here in the U.S., it's the night before Thanksgiving on Wednesday night. So we're going to take the night off and do a rerun of one of our favorite shows with Patricia A. Guthrie. She writes horror books and suspense and eerie stuff, and she's just a fun writer to read her work. And that's Patricia A. Guthrie will be a rerun as next week's guest. And then after that?
After that, we have the aforementioned Judy White Arts. She will be in. Her book will be available at that time, and it'll be a good time introducing one of our new authors to everybody. And after that,
Gwen M. Plano, who's been a guest on the show several times. We've published a good number of her books now. We just published The Gift, which you heard the commercial for tonight. And then in January, we'll be publishing another book by her, The Soul Whisperer's Decision. So she's really been prolific lately. We're looking forward to talking to Gwen M. Plano again. After that?
And after that, we've got the return visit from Carlisle Toms. He's got a new book coming out, and this will be another entertaining episode, so tune in for that. And after that,
we're getting close to the end of the year. We'll have Robert G. Willis Croft, sci-fi master, author of the Mac McDowell Mission series, and some nonfiction and some other stuff, and a children's book. So he's been on the show before as well. He's got a new book, The Orc Chronicles 3, called Ran. That's going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks or so. So we'll have Robert G. Willis Croft on to talk about it. And that brings us to the end of the year. What's happening then, Beam?
The end of the year. It'll be an end of the year episode. Stephen and I will be doing a recap of some of the things that we talked about over the past year. And just we haven't figured everything out yet, but we're just going to have an end-of-the-year kind of blowout. There might be a little bit of drinking the adult beverages during that broadcast and just having a good time, taking calls from callers and wishing everybody a Happy New Year and a Merry Christmas. And I'd like to take this opportunity right now, since we won't be here next week, to say Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. So,
Yeah, there's no telling what's going to happen in the last episode. So you're going to want to tune in. There's, you know, it could be some pranks. You could be involved.
Happy
Thanksgiving, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, Dana. Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving to all.
Yeah, and we'll see everybody next time.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Every person has a private life and a...
Multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group is now producing audiobooks and videobooks. Publish your book and discover great books by Fresh Ink Group authors, always available in hardcover, softcover, and all ebook formats, and now expanding into audio and videobooks. Fresh Ink Group. Just wait till you hear what's next. Of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.